Welcome to Watching Bloomington, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta, with your host, Barry Lusso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we have a chance to hear from a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're really happy to have with us this morning, Elisa Pokrell, with the Monroe County Solid Waste Management District. Good morning, Elisa. How are you?
Good morning. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is a mouthful. Yes, exactly. So you're the community outreach coordinator. What does that mean? What do you do?
Well, it means that I go out into the public and go to, it could be community organizations, schools, businesses, any organization that will have me, clubs. And they can either come to our site at South Walnut, where we have an education room there, or more often I've been lately been doing virtual programs and I'm going into in classrooms. So what I do is I teach people how to make sustainable choices. And so the mission of our district, otherwise known, people may be more familiar with gogreendistrict.com, is that we teach people how to make sustainable choices, how to reduce their trash, what is trash and what is not, okay, because recyclables are not trash. And then there are a lot of additional things that include, you know, how we manage our soil, water, and air. So we want to reduce trash going to the landfills, but it becomes much more than that, because we have to look at the soil, water, and air and how and habitat and how we affect that. And so when I give presentation, I usually don't just give one. I give a series, for instance, the schools. And that way, students and teachers will better understand all these connections that we have. That the one action that we do could affect so many things. What we throw in that trash can affect so many things. And so recycling is a basic of environmental stewardship, but there are other basics of conserving water and composting and how we manage our habitat at our homes and things like that, rewilding, lots of things like that. And so it's very exciting because it's not really one topic, and we cover climate change too. So presentations are for children through adults.
If a group is interested in having a presentation, you know, on any of those topics, that sounds like a wonderful menu. Do they reach out to you? What's the best way to get in touch or schedule something like that?
They can call me directly at 812-349-2866, or the general line number is 349-2020. Or if they want to email me, they can email me at epokral@mcswmd.org. And that's all on our website. If they go to gogreendistrict.com, they can select education and they can go from there. Now, we'll note that our website is changing. We are updating it, trying to make it more easy for people to navigate. So in the next month or so, it will look a little different. But if they make sure that they are on gogreendistrict.com, they are there and they can get the help that they need.
I would imagine that when you talk, you mentioned, you know, doing presentations to children, I would mention that that's probably a good group to work with. They're probably really excited and interested in these topics.
Exactly. In particular, the elementary school students, because that's when parents are learning too. So if their child comes home and says, "Hey, you're not supposed to throw that in the trash," they're teaching their parents, or why aren't we recycling? And so a lot of education is about asking questions, asking questions that really help our world make wise decisions. So, you know, and parents, most parents, I'm going to say, appreciate that. There are some that don't. Okay. I've been in a couple of situations where it comes up to me and said, my dad didn't listen or my mom could care less, you know. But the thing is, if you teach them young, they will understand that, and their household doesn't do it, they haven't been able to convince them, that they will know that when they are adults, they can make those decisions and they know what environmentally sustainable decisions are.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop at elementary school. Middle school is so important too. However, I've noticed that in middle school, if they're not recycling by then, or they're not doing basic environmental stewardship, you know, it's kind of tough for the child because they're not getting supported to do these things. Same with high school. So the higher up you go, you know, the more challenges you have. And it's kind of sad that in high school, the environmental class is not required. It's just something, mm-hmm. those are, you know, classes that kids take, but it's not required. And then mm-hmm. if they haven't had that in elementary school or middle school, then they really don't know how to keep our earth healthy and keep ourselves healthy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people will say, you know, well, okay, I'm doing this to keep the earth healthy, but they don't get the connection that in keeping the earth healthy, they're mm-hmm. keeping themselves healthy and their family, friends, loved ones.
Mm-hmm. No, I could say that's a very good connection. Do you find too, like when you do presentations for adult groups or people interested in a particular topic like composting, or you get specific requests like that?
Oh, I do. That's a very popular one in the schools. Mm-hmm. Composting, and it's great for people to see. I have these worm bins that I keep in my garage. I use for programs to demonstrate to kids how you do it, you know. But I also have outdoor bins, which is so much easier. You just toss mm-hmm. it in there, the food waste in there, and toss in, you know, leaves if you have leaves, whatever else, and let nature do its work. But when kids or adults see that process, and I've done that presentation for adults too, it just amazes them because mm-hmm. we're so disconnected from the natural processes of the earth mm-hmm. that we don't wonder about why are we throwing food waste in the trash, you know. Mm-hmm. And then as they get older, you can explain it better. Then they understand that, there's a national focus actually to mm-hmm. reduce food waste out of landfills and not put it there mm-hmm. because it contributes to climate change. Because when food waste mm-hmm. is in the landfill, it creates what's called methane gas, which is a greenhouse gas that gets into our atmosphere. And it's actually 10 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So when we do that, we keep it and we compost it at home or go to a community compost, which is another option, then we end up reducing climate change.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, in the idea of, you know, composting and returning carbon and nitrogen to the soil and everything, is it maybe as glamorous or exciting as something other things that people know about?
Oh, no, it's not. But I tell you, kids get so excited about it. And even the ones that initially go, oh, you know, they come around. Most of them might say come around. There are a few. And it's not gender specific, I've noticed.
That's
they'll
good.
Go, oh, I'm not touching that. But I always encourage them to be scientists. And
that's right. Well, you think about, you know, the fact with it's so interesting because then you start getting them excited about microorganisms and their role and how they break down things and return
insects,
those atoms, right, to the
right.
atmosphere.
And so. Insects, too, and not to use household hazardous waste if you don't need to use it. I know the late Edward Wilson, the scientist Edward Wilson, talked about how if insects were to vanish, mm-hmm. There wouldn't be much life on this earth. Okay, the
yep.
earth would not work well. And yep. that's why it's important to get kids to think about adults, youth, and kids to think about what they use in their households to clean. Mm-hmm. What do they use mm-hmm. outside? What are they spraying outside? Are they spraying something that's hazardous?
Mm-hmm.
And how does it get into their system? As I get into mm-hmm. the Earth system.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find too, you know, here in Monroe County and Bloomington, are there a lot of good resources? Like if people want to donate things or have things reused, we have some options, don't we? It said before we play the trash or not trash game.
Right. It's always remember to look at the order of that old term that was first use, reduce, reuse, and recycle. We want to reduce mm-hmm. waste in the first place, which means we want to not just throw things in the trash. Can it be composted? Can mm-hmm. it be recycled? Can it, you know, where can you put it? Then you want to reuse as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want it anymore, if you can't find some soul to appreciate it, then you can give it to Goodwill, Salvation Army, all the magnificent reuse places that are around us. We have a lot in Bloomington, mm-hmm. Restore as well. And we have a reuse sidewalk. We have 5 drop-off recycling centers. Mm-hmm. So at that reuse sidewalk, we can accept little things. Okay, we can't mm-hmm. accept big furniture. Occasionally we'll accept things like that and we'll look for a not-for-profit that can use it, but that's not mm-hmm. typical. So we're talking mm-hmm. about little things.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be just put on the reuse sidewalk mm-hmm. and it's a reuse area. We mm-hmm. we call it the trading post at the rural recycling centers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or they can offer it to I was going to say the our Materials for the Arts program, which is run by Mary Hunter, and she will find homes for it. So we have a section at the South Walnut Recycling Center where it's like three large closets, and you walk in there and you look on the ceiling, you look on the walls, and there's all sorts of creative things have been made just from reusable items. So it is for not-for-profits. You have to, in order to use it, you have to have your name on letterhead, you have to be on file. But you'll find clothing and books and toys and CDs and all sorts of things and crafts items that teachers can use. Also some recycling of it that teachers can use and not-for-profits, people, churches and clubs like that. Now, to donate to that, though, you don't have to, you know, be working for a not-for-profit. So you can donate those items. We have a lot of things donated. That diverts tons of
And what can you give us some examples of, so what are some small things that people would, that you'd be looking for donations for that trading post or sidewalk area for those craft purposes?
Crayons, crayons, markers, poster board. Oh, we've taken shells and pine cones. I mean, there are just other things we've had there. Craft items. Like, for instance, we will take wrapping paper if it's flat or if it's basically pretty much new, okay, not crumpled up. We can recycle wrapping paper. And tissue paper if it's new, because that can be used for craft projects too. A lot of books, children's books, but it's not all for children. There are some things that even, you know, older adults and older kids would like too.
Great. So you had mentioned before, you know, the idea too, if it finally, you know, can't find a home at any one of the wonderful places you mentioned, and St. Vincent de Paul, I know, takes furniture, and you mentioned Restore will take building materials and paint if it's still useful. But if it's not, like if you play the trash or not trash game and you decide, okay, it's outlived its usefulness. Talk a little bit about what kinds of things can be recycled.
Well, if you find that you can't give it away, it's in terrible shape, nobody would want it. and so we have a bulky item disposal program, and the bulky item rotates among rural recycling centers. We do not take construction debris, but we take unusable, mainly unusable items. So we don't want someone to give away something good and put it in that bin. Please don't do that. but we will take old furniture. Like, lady called me yesterday, and she had an office chair, and they tried to oil it. It didn't work. It still squeaks. And I asked her, is it really loud? She said, yes. She said, okay, bring it to the bulky item bin. There are certain things that have reached their end of their lifestyle. And if you're not handy, you can't fix it. It would cost more than the item to fix it. The bulky item bin is a good choice for you.
Now, that works on a type of rotating schedule, doesn't it? Based on, because you have,
it does.
Is it five drop-off centers now?
We have five recycling drop-off centers, four rural recycling centers, and then the South Walnut. South Walnut hosts our green business program, our materials for the arts, and our household hazardous waste facility. And if they go to gogreendistrict.com, they'll see what items are accepted at rural, what items accepted at the South Walnut. But for instance, example, if you have electronic devices, if electronics are free, okay, to recycle, to drop off, with the exception, and this is for not for businesses, okay, this is for residents, except for items that have a screen of 7 inches or larger. Okay. If they have a screen of seven inches or larger, there is a $20 recycling fee for each of those items, because it costs money to have those things processed. And then the materials that can be used when it's sent out are stripped down, they're melted down, there's a lot of chemicals in there. So, so it's important that people don't throw in the ravine, throw in the trash. They're legal to throw certain items, electronics, in the trash, actually. So it's a good deal just to drop it off. Now, for the TVs, things like that, drop it off at South Walnut. But the all other electronics, like lamps, structures, things like that, cords, you can drop that off at the rural recycling centers as well.
Great. Yeah, and you mentioned the hazardous materials and electronics. So there are a lot of heavy metals and other things in there that could cause some serious pollution, aren't there?
cadmium and mercury. Yes. Mm-hmm. And people aren't aware of that. You know, if you see, if you open up a computer, of course, it's got the battery in there too. And you do not want that to get in our soil, water, or air. Mm-hmm. And they're precious materials. You know, we hear in the news how we need these precious materials from the earth to create these wonderful devices that we depend upon every day.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you mentioned too, you know, so somebody might think, you know, oh, I have something like that and I'm going to throw it out in my trash pile and it's not going to get into the soil or air or water. And talk a little bit about how that happens, because I think, you know, people sometimes don't realize the sequence of events there.
In Monroe County, we do not have an active landfill. It's closed. But most of our trash goes to the Terre Haute landfill, Sycamore Ridge, or I'm trying to think of the other one there, that the other Rumkey takes it to. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
That's fine.
But what happens in a landfill is they have layers. They have kind of a thick plastic layer on the bottom, and they have to make sure there's certain requirements for where the landfills are built so that they're. That water is not underneath it. And so, but even, I mean, even landfills, okay, can leak materials. There's a substance called leachate that is developed from materials in the landfill. It gradually, some of it, very little of it decomposes, but that does creates leachate. And that leachate, if you got it on your finger, your clothing, could burn your clothing, could burn your skin. And so before that, they have to take out the leachate, extract it. So before that leachate is taken out, and then it has to be cleaned. But the thing is that, of course, landfills are not the solution to our waste. They can still leak. They can still have materials that were put in them, either intentionally or unintentionally, that will be absorbed into the atmosphere, into the soil. And those things travel. So just because it's the landfill's not here, it doesn't mean that you can't get poisoned or you cannot be affected by it. And I do have a session on that for children and youth.
Great. Oh, that's wonderful. And also talk a little bit about too, a lot of times, you know, we have so many things that take batteries, or now a lot of the more current light bulbs, like our LCD light bulbs and other things, have materials in them that aren't too safe. So are those things that people can bring down to the centers as well?
Well, yes, light bulbs, except for the old teardropped, the old ones, which are 100-year-old technology. So if you have any of those, then just throw those in the trash. But CFLs are the one that you're referring to that have a little bit of mercury in them. Not a lot, but still something that you need to recycle. Plus, there are things in it. There are metals and other things in those lights that are important to recycle. LEDs don't have any hazardous things in them, but they do have those other materials that need to be recycled. Fluorescent bulbs can be recycled too, lamp structures, quartz, things like that, all sorts of gaming devices. The wiring can be reused. Some of the wiring can be melted down. Paints, we didn't mention paints and cleaners. That's important. We do have a little reuse area where people can pick up paints, glues, things. Fertilizers, we don't advocate the use, but at least they're being used up. And then of the things that are, if it's good, we put it on the shelf. If it's not, then it's sent out and it's processed and it's buried. Some of it is just buried. So the importance is to don't buy it, number one, if you don't need it, and you can find an alternative that's not hazardous. For instance, they've gone to a lot of non-VOC, the VOC paints, that don't contain the smell, the off gases. And so don't buy if you don't need it. Find an alternative if you can, or use it up and give it to someone who can. Because if you keep a lot of those things in your garage, which many people do, in fact, me included, I have some that I should be bringing to hazmat, okay? It can be a fire hazard.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's a really good point.
And you have to be aware of where you're storing it, what it's stored next to. So it's good that I'm not a chemist, because boom.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
Now, if you could talk a little bit too, I know there's some confusion always too about different kinds of containers. Like, you know, people are wondering always, like, they're different plastics that some of their food comes in, and containers that produce comes in and then, you know, packaging for other things like blister packs and things. What type of plastic? Are there certain numbers that people should look for and that those things are can be recycled, or how does that part work?
Plastic is a tough market right now because of China. Okay, China banning the importing of recyclables, which they are, can rightly do because they are protecting the health of their country. They had the worst air quality in the world. I think their water quality is pretty bad too. And so they had just put a stop to it, not just from the United States, but from other countries as well. And for years, decades, we had been sending recyclables to them, which doesn't make sense when you think about the transport cost. So it is good that, actually, it's good that this has happened because it will hopefully stimulate the United States to start these recycling facilities closer to the communities that they can serve. That way, that will reduce climate change. When we have to take care of our own waste. So the plastic market is tough, but our plastic goes to Republic Services, and then they send it out to the places. We contract with a whole variety of recyclers, and Republic takes our takes a large part of what we take, but they don't take electronics. There's a place in Indianapolis that takes glass, another couple places that take batteries and metals, things like that. But getting back to the plastics, so what the public wants to do is, first of all, if they don't have to have a bag for it, we don't longer take plastic bags. Okay? And plastic bags cause so many problems all across this world, getting into our waters and hurting wildlife and all sorts of things. And it does not break down. Okay? Lots of plastics don't break down, or it takes, you know, a long time to break down. So what they need to do is, first of all, don't try to buy things where they don't have to use plastic bags. That just goes in the trash. I think Kroger still recycles, some of the big box stores still recycle them in their lobby area. But what they want to look for is recycling arrows. Those three arrows that look like they're chasing each other. It's generally on the bottom of containers, but not always. Sometimes it's on the tops too. If they see that and there's a number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 inside of it, okay, one of those numbers, that means it can be recycled. Exception is styrofoam. Styrofoam cannot be recycled, whether it's not recyclable, if that goes in the trash. You can find a way to use it, I guess, if you're sending packages, but it goes in the trash. So styrofoam cups, plates, things like that. Doesn't work.
Wonderful.
For some of the plastics, it's a harder market.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too. I know they're working on some new technologies of how to handle plastics and turn them into other materials that would be useful. So fingers crossed, maybe some of that stuff will work one of these days soon.
Right.
So now, one thing I know our viewers can't see it, but you have a lovely tree background that I'm looking at on our Zoom call here. And I know you have a big event that you're starting to plan for. Can we talk about that a little?
We are. This is an event for Earth Day. And I know it's cold outside. It's going to snow again. But it's important for people to think early, because if they think early, they're going to get a discounted price for what we are encouraging people to embrace. And we are partnering with Rural Kings. Monroe County Waste Management District is otherwise known as gogreendistrict.com. It's partnering with Rural King and Monroe County Soil and Water to encourage people to offer discounted rain barrels and compost bins to the public. So discounted, and the order deadline is April 11th. This is, you know, we are asking people to participate in a national focus. This is a national focus of our country to keep food waste out of landfills, to use rain barrels to reduce the pollution that goes into our waterways, into our soil. And the order deadline, they go to gogreendistrictorders.com. This is different from our website, gogreendistrictorders.com. And the order deadline is April 11th. And these are discounted rain barrels in honor of Earth Day. And this is really big. I'm so glad that Monroe County Soil and Water and Rural King are joining us and partnering with us on this, because this is an opportunity to reach people of all different segments in Monroe County. And I will say that they don't have to live in Monroe County in order to order these bins. They do have to pick them up in Monroe County. And the pickup date will be April 22nd, 23rd. They can either pick them up at Rural King or the South Walnut Recycling Center. But even if they're out of county, they want to order from us, they're welcome to do that. We want to spread the word. We want to get more people to use these devices.
Mm-hmm. And if people are interested, you know, in doing that and they want more information on how to use them, there will there be information on the website or like how would they learn how to do that better?
We have videos on YouTube, on the district's YouTube channel. And so I've done some on rain barrels and Love Fun composting. Mm-hmm. I will make sure that they have a virtual training, whoever is interested. Mm-hmm. So after everybody receives their bin, mm-hmm. then we'll have a virtual training. If they want to look up right now, how do you set it up? They can look at the Go Green District Orders website. And that website has a number of different videos. It's gogreendistrictorders.com. It has a number of different videos on the process. And of course, for those who are not familiar, this is great. They don't have to know how to use it. Okay. We have year-round consultation.
Perfect.
So I'm the year-round consultation.
Just call Lisa.
They can contact me. And of course, so compost bins, they do a variety of different things. Of course, you get free soil, you throw in your food waste and throw in mm-hmm. weeds and leaves and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you let nature do its work. Right? Mm-hmm. So outdoor bins, you would need some sort of a yard. It can reduce your trash cost, obviously. Mm-hmm. You'll have no more smelly trash. And there are a lot of scientific studies now that talk more about how composting is related to water quality too, cleaner water. Mm-hmm. Now with the rain barrels, that's a system where a barrel where you attach it to your gutter and then you collect water in it. Mm-hmm. And it's not for drinking water. It's not for your mm-hmm. pets or for you. It's not used that mm-hmm. way. But what you want to do then is use that water. It's going to reduce your utility bill because you're going to be using less tap water. Mm-hmm. And there are studies indicate that you can reduce your utility bill by up to 40%.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And by the so if you collect that water, you can use it to rinse decks, your car, mm-hmm. you can rinse garden tools. And of course, the plants, first of all, you know, indoor, outdoor
sure.
plants. It's even great as a hair conditioner. Mm-hmm. You can pour that on your hair. It's great.
There it you go.
It doesn't have the chemicals in it that, well, it has yeah. some because of you know, acid rain, but it's, sure. it's still good for your hair. So, mm-hmm. and then with composting, you can reduce your trash by about, when you home compost, by 25 to 35%. So that makes
that's
a significant
impressive.
Difference.
Yeah, that's very significant.
If you're recycling and you're reducing trash by maybe by 84% or so, mm-hmm. and then you add on the composting, your trash mm-hmm. bag is very small.
Mm-hmm. What type of things can people compost? I know that's a question people have a lot too.
You want to compost, think of the cuttings that you have when you're cooking mm-hmm. Or you're trimming bushes or whatever. If it's small, you can put it in there. You want to do so we're talking food waste, but no dairy products, mm-hmm. no meat or bones. Mm-hmm. Now, in a community compost, like the program that we offer with Earth Keepers and people subscribe to Earth Keepers and drop off food waste at our five recycling centers, mm-hmm. you can put meat and bones in that, but mm-hmm. not for home compost. It's mm-hmm. not that it won't compost. It's just that it will take longer. It will smell mm-hmm. and will attract rodents. Mm-hmm. So you know, you can put like banana peels, the whole banana, orange peels, or the whole orange, mm-hmm. Things that get moldy in your refrigerator, whether it's bread mm-hmm. or fruit, vegetables, mm-hmm. Rice, grains, all sorts of grains, mm-hmm. things like that. Now you can put a little bit of milk in there, a little bit of dairy, a little mm-hmm. bit of cheese, but not a whole lot of it.
Yeah. Great. So, I mean, that makes sense where you get those percentages from then, if you count all those different peels from all the different fruits and vegetables that you might eat.
It's quite a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It adds up. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. So again, could you repeat that website that people can go to if they want to order one of those?
For those devices, which we encourage everybody to have that has a yard.
That's right.
And even businesses can do this too, because some businesses have the property to do this. Mm-hmm. The website is gogreendistrictorders.com.
Excellent. And by April 11th, you said.
They need to order by April 11th because we want to make sure that those devices are on the truck, ready to be delivered. And they will be ready for pickup on Earth Day, April 22nd and the 23rd, wherever that person designates their pickup. So it'll either be at South Walnut Recycling Center, and I'll be there to greet them. And also Rural King. Rural King mm-hmm. will also have hours on both the 22nd and the 23rd for pickup.
Wonderful. Well, get your orders in. And Elisa, thank you so much for all the wonderful information this morning and for everything you do for the community.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Buccetto's Pizza Pasta. For pizzas, calzones, Italian chicken dinners, and more than 50 gluten-free dishes, as well as vegan options. Visit them for dine-in or carry-out at East 3rd Street or next to Starbucks on West 3rd Street in front of Kroger. Order online at Buccetto's.com.